Welcome to Reimagined. I'm your host, Dr. Alex Swenson-Ridley, the founder of Emergent Women Coaching and a woman on a mission to help other heart-centered women leaders and entrepreneurs alter their experience of business and life from one of sacrifice and burnout to unadulterated joy and freedom. This is the show that gives you the inspiration and permission to break all the rules. We help you tap into your intuition, your zone of genius, and creativity to give you the confidence and clarity to do things differently. And we give you the tools and stories that will inspire you to rejuvenate your spirit, innovate how you lead and do business, strengthen your core identity, and connect deeply to yourself so that you emerge as the next powerful version of you. Ready to dive in? Let's go. Hello, welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Dr. Alex. I'm excited to be joined today by Michelle DeKaiser, who is a mama empowerment coach, teacher, and speaker. After teaching in public schools for 9 years, being a stay-at-home mom for 10 years, and traveling the world, Michelle found her passion in connecting mamas to ignite their passions by growing through grace and community. Her desire is to create a world full of passionate, connected mamas, inspiring those around them. Michelle, welcome to the show.
I'm so excited to be here. I was just so grateful you invited me. And I look forward to exploring all these topics with you.
Yeah, absolutely. We're actually going to have lots to connect on because when I first launched into doing the work I do today, I actually had this whole thing about rejuvenated mamas and wrote a book on it. And I've since moved away a little bit. But, you know, I think it's important, no matter what age we are as moms and as parents, to have connection and also the grace. And those are two things that we're really missing, especially among the high achievers that I talk to. So, you know, ladies listening, no matter what age you are, what part of the parenting journey you are on, I think this is going to be very important and insightful.
And I love how you said connection, because I mean, that's what it's really about. But I mean, you kind of want to think about it in terms of like, what do you actually enjoy doing? Because I think of those conversations you have with moms about the weather or what your kids are doing. And like, for me, sometimes I just want to pull my hair out and go, okay, I've had enough of these conversations. And so that's what I really focus on when we talk about that genuine conversations and connections of how do we, and so I want to explore that with you today.
Yeah. Oh, good. Let's do it. Because there's that level of like superficial connection. Yeah, I kind of think of it as like you're, and not necessarily, but like your church friends, because for whatever reason, I found in a lot of church circles, there's not a lot of real life, actually. It's a lot of, you know, I very rarely found the connections that are deep and that where I'm really actually craving. I'm just going to be like totally transparent and upfront and blunt here. It's been few and far between, especially since I left, you know, the bubble of graduate school and
right.
moved and all of that. And I know a lot of women experience it, and a lot of us are actually lonely. And it's a big part of what drives what I talk about on the show all the time, which is selfless syndrome, which ultimately is kind of like this jacked up modern day stress response where we don't have the opportunity to de-escalate. And part of what's missing from that is connection. So I would love to hear wherever you want to start, like what was your journey to getting to this point? And what does, you know, community and connecting really mean? Let's get into
it. Well, as we were talking before the show, which was kind of funny, but what really brought me to this was in that point of motherhood when you like start to get those pockets of time, right? You're like, all of a sudden you do have 15 minutes. You do, I mean, you, after you get that baby phase on, so you're like, oh my gosh, they're playing by themselves. What do I do with myself? And I'd find myself playing like Candy Crush or like watching TV or scrolling social media. And all of a sudden I'd look up and like, how much time has just passed? And where are my kids? And like, you felt like the guilt. I felt so much worse. I didn't feel like I actually relaxed doing that. In fact, I felt like more of a fog in my brain. And then COVID kind of hit, and that all of a sudden we had decided that we were going to homeschool our kids because of no idea what this was all about. And we had two family members who had cancer at the time, and we just didn't know what to do from it. But at the same time, I was about to start homeschooling. One of my son's third grade teachers had actually done 75 hard. And I had no idea what this was. I saw her post about it, and I was like, I saw her post like a week, like she had just finished these 75 days. I saw her post in the following week. I'm like, I'm doing it. And it was one of those ones where like, you know, like you, for me, I'd tried like whatever program, this program, that program. My husband looks at me and just goes, yeah, okay, one of these programs again, whatever. And then all of a sudden I start ticking off the days. And next thing you know, I did all 75 days, because in this challenge, if you don't do any one of the
things like 2 45-minute workouts, gallon of water, et cetera, that you have to start back at day one. So you're literally doing all of these 75 days in a row. And then I went to full year and into the three phases that follow, which are 30 days each. But when I got to day 25 of phase three, so in this phase, you're supposed to take a 5-minute cold shower, you're supposed to talk to a stranger, you're supposed to do a random act of kindness throughout the day. But I must have fallen asleep reading. Like, so I woke up at 2:30 in the morning to realize I had not taken my progress picture. And it was funny because that's the one that they warn you about. Because when you're listening to some of the podcasts, they're like, it's a progress picture that gets some people sometimes. And so when I'm looking at this point, I'm like, if you fail this or don't finish this third challenge and you start back at day one of the whole year. And so I got picture at 2:30 in the morning, but I'm like, I look so disheveled. I was just so mad at myself. But then it was almost in hindsight that this was a good thing because I was so focused on that end goal, right, of finishing this. What was that even going to mean? And so this put in perspective for me that I finally understood what the words, it's about the journey means. Like, it was that realization, like, oh my God, I had in this journey, I had lost 45 pounds. I had gained my love of learning back. I was reading books again. All these things that I had not done for so long, I knew what to fill my pockets of time with now and actually felt more energy, more alive. And that's when it hit me really that it's all about the journey and figuring out how to do that. And then I also learned that when you start down this route, not everyone around you is on that bandwagon as well. I mean, your energy changes. Then all of a sudden people around you are looking at you like, okay, she's going nuts again. I don't want anything to do with her, right? So then you start to like have this different, where do I fit in? And you feel like your world's so small and you're like, your friends are changing, everything's changing. And so for me, when I did have some accountability partners, they were all online. They were like someone who did phase one with me. We like checked on each other every day and that actually helped me get through phase one. And that's what made me realize I want to create this community of mamas because once you decide that you want more and you want to do more, then you need the support to do it. Because otherwise, if you don't, I found in some of the mom groups and stuff I was part of, it was always that complaining fest. Mm-hmm. And you sit at the table and like, unless you brought a complaint to the table, I felt like I couldn't speak because it wasn't like it didn't. And that's all that was being said. And I didn't really actually feel like I had anything to complain about. So then I just sat there mute. And so I didn't feel that connection there as well. And so it's not that we don't have our struggles or things like that, but we share them and don't live in them. Like, how do we share them and move forward and find ideas? And that's the kind of community that I felt was missing. And that's what all led me to doing this was this fog and everything I was feeling like, what do I do with my time?
Yeah. Oh, there's so many good things on here. So for those listening who you can Google the 75 hard challenge, I've started it before and did not finish it. And part of it was because I was in a place of burnout at the time. And just like, that was not what I was supposed to be doing. I needed to learn. Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. Like you have to, you know, and that's one of the things, like you have to be honest with yourself about where you're at. And I think the journey that you went through brings up some important points of, you know, growth and of like, especially those of us in leadership roles, and we can lead our families, right? Like ultimately you stepped into a new way of leading yourself. And when you do that, it can alienate you from people that you have known before who don't necessarily share the same values or aren't committed. And, you know, I think we have this real challenge of, especially if we're working in like male dominated industries or, you know, so I live in a house of boys. I have four, one son, three stepsons, a male dog and a husband. So like, there's a reason why I work with women, right? But, you know, when we're surrounded and in these areas where maybe we don't have permission to be ourselves, or we don't feel like we fit, or like we don't really have the ability to connect. Something I talk with my clients about some is like, how do you go find those, like create the opportunity to meet people that might actually be someone you can connect with and fill that need in that cup and help you become a better version of yourself. Like a lot of, I know I've struggled with years and taught on a lot is like our circle of influence, right? We're the sum of the 10 people we spend the most time with. Dale Carnegie, who talks about this. And so you actually go through and like rank the people by either giving them a plus one or a zero. The plus one is they lift you up. A zero is like, they don't really, you know, they're great. And then the vampires get a negative one. And so ultimately, like you want your friend circle to be net positive.
Well, that's so true though. But then I mean, I don't know if it was COVID that actually did or not, but then that I felt so limited. Like, you know, you think about who's in your proximity, like physically, and that totally limits your vision of who could be that plus person. And then because of, I don't know if it was because of COVID or just people got more friendly with virtual, that it's actually one of the better places to start. And part of the reason why I went virtual on purpose with my community was we have all this trauma in us about belonging and stuff that, that like for me, for instance, I did actually create my first circle, which was in person with four other people, but it was almost like jumping out the deep end. And like, I wasn't ready to swim because it was my trauma that was holding me back from connecting with them. And it was too quick. And so the virtualness allows you to peel the onions back slowly versus like, okay, let's just dive in. And then eventually then you can create your own outside, you know, once you're ready for it. But this is a place for those who want the belonging but don't know how to get there because they've been so disconnected from it for so long that we come together slowly and work our way up to it to slowly let go of some, release some of that energy and stuff that's been stuck inside of us for so long.
I really love that. And it's important to recognize I'm on like a whole trauma journey this year. I'm maybe 4 months into a year-long process that I'm working through. But as women, like we all have, whether it's collective trauma or, you know, trauma that happened directly to us or things that happened to our ancestors, like we're carrying this and it comes into our space. And I think to your point, it does make finding real connection challenging because we're trying to live up to societal expectations or, you know, even if it's not conscious, like we have.
But somewhere else along the lines with society, they said moms have to do this alone. Like all of a sudden now, I mean, if you look some parts of the world, they're still very community-based. But for us, like especially in the Western world, we're supposed to know how to do this without asking for help. Like we're supposed to be perfect Pinterest moms. We're supposed to do this on our own, know exactly what we're doing and do it right. If not, then we're not good enough, which is so not true. And we all do it differently too, because each one of our kids is differently. I think moms with multiple kids know that one thing works with one kid and doesn't work with the other. Well, that's same when you're comparing. Just because it worked with your neighbor's kid doesn't mean it's going to work with your kid. But we're in that mindset like, no, it has to be perfect. But then we're not actually moving forward. We're stuck in that perfection of it all, which is, again, those conversations that are non-genuine, where we're just like, oh, how are you? I'm fine. Are you really? Probably not, but that's what I'm going to say. That's what I'm supposed to say. And so that's, how do we get past that when we've been doing that for so long? And that's why, and that's where you're saying where the trauma comes in, that these wounds and stuff that we've had just from how we respond to people and just say, I'm fine. Because you're not supposed to say anything else. And even if you do say something else, it kind of give you a look like, I wasn't really asking. But I really don't know. I don't really care.
It's interesting.
But you want to find the people that do.
Yeah. Two thoughts from that. My training is, you know, in chiropractic school, because my original journey has been as a chiropractor. My listeners know this, but, you know, they taught us to absolutely never ask anybody how you're doing because you didn't want to get caught in a conversation that was going to take up time and put you behind because, you know, you're running on this time is money model and you got to get people in like a conveyor belt kind of thing. And I hated that because it felt disingenuine. And I'm just going to bring up like when we started this and, you know, we kind of got before we hit record, we were like, oh, how are you? And I caught myself wanting to say, oh, I'm great. And I'm not at all. Like I've had a really crappy weekend. My dog's had major surgery. He's not doing okay. Like, and so I just shared that with you. And it's taken a lot for our listeners. Like it's taken a lot for me to be willing to do that. Like,
you know. And I think because you're so open with each other, even before you started, I was like, well, my husband's out of town. My house just flooded in the basement. I had to do a summit this day it floods. And like, but like we worked through it together. And again, it's not that bad things aren't going to happen to us. It's not that we don't want to complain, but neither of us were actually complaining about it. We were like acknowledging it so we could just be there for each other, even though we didn't even know each other, which was such a different feeling than just, oh, well, I'm going to complain about my list. Am I going to be able to top you? Like, cause I feel like that's a lot of times, like when you go to the complain table, and it's one top after the other, like, oh, well, my day's worse. And it didn't feel like that at all. It felt like we were just listening to each other and like expressing it and just sharing with each other, which I don't feel when I was at the mom tables that was always the case.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. So how do we start to shift this? Like, I know you've created this community and you're really committed to starting to shift like these things. There's another layer to this where maybe we'll get into that in a minute. Let's just start here. So like,
one question,
you know, for those listening that are maybe trying some of this stuff on, because like it's taking myself a while to give myself permission to say like, I'm actually not okay today. And that's okay. Like, there's permission to not be okay. And a lot of us don't have that. You know, we feel like we have to put on a show or fake it, or I don't know what, like, we don't want to call attention to ourselves, or, you know, we don't want to be the complainer. So how do we start to move these conversations?
Well, I think it comes down to the first thing, just to answer that first, is that we just feel we're not worth it. And yeah. So no one really cares. No one wants to help us. No one wants to do any of these things, which I was saying to you before we start was, when my basement flooded, I just started crying. And my kids actually started jumping in before I did. I was like panicked. Cousins out of town, what do I do? It was like, almost like, how do I, like, it took me like a good 20 minutes to like have that phone in my hand and actually start texting people. And once I finally did, I had the basement cleaned by like 11 and people were there helping because I did that. But like, I almost did feel paralyzed by that. And I've been going through this for a while. So to get back to how we do this, part of the way I personally do this is through what I call my check-in process. But that first C, so each letter stands for something, but that first C is curiosity. Because somewhere along the lines, that three-year-old, we as a three-year-old, we're probably asking 100 questions. By the time we turn 11 or your kids start turning 11, they're so busy into the school or the norm of like question and answer. So they're no longer asking questions. They're just trying to answer whatever questions given at them. So we lose that curiosity sometimes somewhere along the lines. And as moms, it's completely, it's for most of us, a lot of it's gone. So it starts with figuring out, what do we want to do? And so I tell you to like open up that curiosity, because we have that RAS system, which is the retroactivating system, that system, like as we're talking about new cars, when you see that, when you get that new car and you start seeing it everywhere, it's because you activate your brain. When you start activating your brain with the question, what do I want? And you say, what can I do for myself for 10 minutes tomorrow? And you just start that process. Then you start to figure out. And so especially with your kids, what I actually always say with the genuine connection is that curiosity is, look through their eyes, see how they light up when they're doing something new that they enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. And then look to see what you enjoy doing with them, even if you can't think about yourself. So for instance, I'm not the biggest Lego person. My husband loves to play Legos with them. So it's not something I necessarily do. I'm like, oh, go find daddy. But if my daughter wants to draw, because I have something I want to learn more about, I jump right in and say, let's do that together. So moms, it's not that we have to do everything we don't want to do, but then do the things we do want to do. But you have to figure out what those are. Otherwise, you're going to say, oh, well, I got to do this with kids. I have to do that. I have to. But, and it's hard to say, I get to. That's what we're trying to get to. Get. But once we start asking the question, what do I actually like doing? Because we don't focus on them anymore. It's always, what do they want to do? What do I need to do for them? What are we doing? And so we have to change that question. And we just start with that 10 minutes. And you ask yourself, what part of the day is that going to help me with? Do I need it in the morning? Do I need it after the kids are in bed? Like, what is going to help me? Because each of us are so different. And we all try to say, well, I have to get up early and do an hour before the kids get up. No, you don't. But my recommendation for that is, even 1 minute before, even when you have that crying baby, if you take two deep breaths and check in with yourself before you run to the baby, that's going to help you. And that'll take you 30 seconds. And so it's making those conscious shifts in checking with yourself first, that's really going to start making that difference. And again, it's those baby steps. Because if we just jump in and say, okay, well, I have my hour routine I'm supposed to do tomorrow morning, and you have not done this ever before, you're going to get through day one. And by day two, you're like, oh, well, I can't get it all in, so I'm not going to do it.
Yep.
No, one thing for 10 minutes. Or even five.
Or even
just
one.
Start. Even one.
I've had people start at one before. And I think you're bringing up an interesting point that I just want to bring awareness to for those listening, because this is something that I've started to teach a lot in my own journey and just how I've learned. Connection and all of this actually starts with connecting with ourselves. It's not about something outside of us. And a lot of times we're just pushing, especially in the high achieving world, it's like, you know, oh, I'm going to go pedal to the metal. Like, I'm going to train for a marathon and I'm going to do, like, I have been there. This is all stuff I've done in the past, even as a single mom. And until you slow down enough to look inside, like, you're not going to find that connection and you're not going to de-escalate from stress and you're just going to stay stuck in a...
I'm going to give you two reasons to agree with you.
Yeah.
First reason is because when we don't do that, we're just people pleasing. We're trying to do what the other person, we think the other person wants to do, which then we get resentful and we're not doing it. Second thing is what we talked about earlier was that when you actually start going after what you like, your energy and light are going to change. That's people who are around you might not be receptive to that. And so then you're going to be looking for the people that are. And once you make those connections, that's where you get the genuine connection. Because you kind of weave out and say, start putting up those boundaries and start saying, well, this person doesn't jive with me anymore. Now I'm actually going after what I want. I'm doing things I like doing. And then you put that positive energy out. For instance, with my kids, I used to fight with them all the time. It felt like a yelling match all the time. And it'd be so much so that at times my son and I are so much alike, throw my hands up in the air and say to my husband, you deal with them. You deal with me, you can deal with him. Right. But what I never first saw, even going down the entrepreneur route, because for me, it was like, what am I going to take away from my family by doing this? And I never asked, what am I going to give my family? I was just like, what am I taking away by being selfish and going down this route and taking away from them? Instead, it's create genuine connection with my son, because now he's off creating his own sprout and microgreen business. Actually, yesterday during our Easter egg hunt, giving out samples to neighbors.
That's amazing.
And in the summer, he wants to sell those, right? That idea came from an entrepreneur summit, kids summit that we recorded last summer that we got the VIP package from and watched a video a couple months ago about, and he's been off since. But had I not changed my mindset and like gone down these different directions, he would never have done that. My daughter, as a 9-year-old, spoke on a summit with me, which would have happened. Like, I never could never foresaw that stuff, but it was only because I was going towards what I was interested in. Then I was shining the light that actually want to attract them. And so the fighting has, we're so busy doing the things we want to do that the fighting is less. Not saying it's gone, because we're just doing blood and everything going on, but it's less because we're actually doing things we like together. Like, we're enjoying it versus the things like, oh, I have to do this for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really important. And for anyone listening, I'll just chime in with my own story. Like, I started my chiropractic practice when my son was 6 weeks old. And, you know, not many women do that. We breastfed for 2.5 years somehow in that model. And I just made it work. But, you know, he's grown up in this very entrepreneurial mindset. So like, he manages a YouTube channel for our dog, and our dog has more subscribers and way more views than I will ever have on YouTube, because I just don't care about it that much. But, you know, he's like, got all these ideas and things that he wants to do. He came up with a whole like Pokemon themed pizzeria that we can't do because Pokemon has a copyright on everything. But like, you know, I think it's important to recognize, like, when we actually do the things that are in our genius and are willing to step out and lead and not put ourselves in, I've been talking about boxes lately, at least at the time when we record this, because I've been in this healthcare box for a long time and I'm finally like, done with it. And it's cool and I'm excited. And, you know, I think we also put ourselves in this box of motherhood of like not allowing permission to do something that would actually fuel our souls and make us better moms, because, you know, we have to just be mom right now. And like, I'm grateful that I never prescribed to that. And there's, you know, there were definitely challenges with it and things that I would have done differently at this stage, but like, we got through it and he's great and fine. And, you know, we make it work.
Well, I will admit, over the weekend, we had gone to my in-laws' house for the week since it was spring break, and I could get some help while if my husband was gone. But my mother-in-law brought up a point that one of her sister-in-laws said to her, Michelle's parenting style must have changed a lot from like reading my posts or seeing the stuff I'm doing. And then like, she paused for a second. She was almost like, I never really thought about it because you're just Michelle. Like, I just never really saw it. But when I actually had to think about it, she's like, the calmness that exists now that did not before is very showable. Like, she was just all of a sudden like, I can see that now. Even the way you ask them to take accountability for their actions, the way you speak to them is just so different than how you used to. I mean, honestly, it felt like a tension zone yelling match, I will admit. But she was like, I never really thought about it, but it is just so much calmer than it used to be. And it didn't even, you know, like, till someone was posed that question to her. And so I think that's what the self-care and all of that comes down to. And I hear this bad thing about meditation, like, well, my brain won't shut down, I can't do this. Well, meditation isn't necessarily about that. It's about learning to, you're still going to get thoughts. They're never going to stop. But it's giving yourself grace as they come up, say, okay, well, it's time to move back to that. But then later in the day, are you calmer? Are you responding more than reacting to things around you? Because you can't change the fact that there was flood in my house. but I could have just sat there, canceled my summit and just swallowed all day or move through it. So it's like, how much do we move through what happens around us versus sit in it? And that's what all the self-care does. Because when you are filling your cup and overfilling it, then you're able to respond rather than to react to what's happening. My six-year-old throws one of 45-minute tantrums. I'll just keep walking away, come back and check on her, not ready to talk. Okay, goodbye. But I'm not saying you have to stop right now. Because I felt like, as kids, we were always told you're not allowed to feel those emotions. I'm like, you're still at it. I'll keep checking on you. Come back. And then when you're ready, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
And then eventually think about it. But it's giving them that space because we can't control that. We can't control that they're going to give a tantrum. But we can let them feel it and not say, you have to bottle that up, which I felt like I was doing for so long.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I'm curious to see what this next generation, like the generation of our kids, because my son's almost 10, so he's in the age of some of your kids, will be like, because I've been like that too. You know, I was always taught like it wasn't safe to feel my feelings and like there wasn't space or room for them because my mom was always fried. And I'm very much the opposite with him. I'm like, you can feel your feelings. Like, be mad at me. It's fine. You know, your feelings are your feelings. It doesn't change whatever, you know, rule I'm enforcing, but like you can feel however you need to feel and let that out in a healthy way. You know,
I think the more we model that, that's what it really comes down to. Cause and going back to us exploring our lights and what we want to do is deep down, we all say we want our kids to be happy, healthy adults, but how can they be if they don't have that modeled for them? Otherwise we're going back to our parents' model, do as I say, not as I do. And I don't know about you, but that felt hypocritical. Certain teachers, certain things like that hypocrisy of it all. My daughter will say that about her teachers. Like, I can't believe she says that. She doesn't do any of the things that she tells us to do. And it frustrates me so much. So she's telling me that from that side. So I can only imagine kids who were given that example as well. So mama's out there, papa's out there. Like, the more you shine your own light, go after what you want, then you're inspiring them to do the same thing, which is ultimately what we want.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all, you know, I think we're, by giving ourselves permission to do that, we're giving them permission to really make shifts. And that's where, you know, a lot of the journey of whether it's learning to lead yourself or in the healthcare world, like learning how all of this has to do with you being your best self, feeling good, of, you know, feeling confident in yourself, of being who you want to be, not being the tired, exhausted, you know, overworked, overwhelmed mom who's just snapping at everybody constantly, but like getting to be you. And when you have permission for that, like, life is so much easier and fun and our relationships improve with our kids and our spouses and all around. So
again, I go back because you mentioned earlier with the zone of genius, like us living and figuring out that zone of genius, because when we're in our zone of excellence, we're like, we're okay, but there's that resentfulness in us or something that's not quite right. But it does take the courage to discover what your zone of genius is and to move towards. But that's where this comes in, where you find that supportive environment if you decide that that's the route you want to go. Because when we're trying to do this alone, we're going to stick with the proximity of who's around us. And if we even make that decision, but then all of a sudden everyone around us is like back to the complaining or the drinking or whatever you're used to connecting with them, you decide you want something different, then all of a sudden that changes. And so it's finding that community that is going to help you be who you want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting how that shifts. Like, there's certain people that I'm around sometimes now that I'm just like, oh, I don't know if I can handle this. Like, just the amount of negativity and just like, you know, being down on themselves and life in general. And I'm like, yeah, this is not comfortable. So that having, you know, an outlet for that within what you've created, I'm curious about. So share a little bit about like, what does that look like? Like, what is the community part? And obviously, you know, we've talked a lot about connecting with yourself first. So like everyone can do that. And then as things start to shift, like here's an option for where you can plug in and find some like-minded people. So, yeah.
So I think the beginning stages of creating a community, but what I'm offering right now is a 6-week course, which goes through that check-in process. Now the model that I use is what I call a women's circle. So it was 2009, I believe, as Dalai Lama said that the Western woman was going to shift the paradigm and save the world. So we're going to shift to that at some point. Dr. Bolian, who wrote The Million Circle, interpreted that to be that when we create these women's circles, the energy that we create in that circle is what's going to shift that. So I'm on that mission to help create more of those women's circles. And so I do that through this course and this process of the check-in, again, each letter representing something. So the C is curiosity, which we talked a little about. H is getting honest with yourself and those around you. And E is actually expectations, which I got a little slack from a friend who said, like, that's too harsh of a word. But we have to acknowledge them. We have to acknowledge where we're at. And then when we get to that second C of connection, is that's what I like to call it, but I love to say that I want to be a matchmaker for moms. I want to then in the Zoom room create what I call growth shifts, circles of graces, where you will then get that group and then go through, keep listening and intentional now, learning how to keep that women's circle format and stuff going with you after this course, if you so choose. So I mean, you can't force anything, but to create this framework for them and to give them this, the people to help them do that. And so that's my goal, is to bring more women's circles into being and eventually turn into a membership, offering more things for it. But right now, that's part that I'm offering because I really just want to create these circles and support them and give them that jump start into this personal development. Because it is, if you, when you as a mom decide you want more, it's that guilt. It's that feeling that I don't deserve it. It's that feeling that, no, I still have to do what everyone else wants me to, that people pleasing in you. But let's start that process slow and take those baby steps. So this is to help set you up to kind of guide you into figure out what you want to go and give you a path to take it with you. And so that's what I'm offering.
Awesome. And there'll be links to all that in the show notes, ladies. If you can't find it, let me know, but go ahead.
And one more for a freebie for all of you out there. I do offer the mini check-in course so that you can just go sign up for that. And that will just take you 3 to 5 minute video on each letter and then an activity just for you to check in with yourself and get out there a little bit more with some connection. And so honestly, what I just want to recommend for people out there is just to start that connection going. And so when you're out, I always like to say it. So, you know, when you're seeing another mom or someone out there and you have this compliment in your head, and you're like, oh, I really like the way they look or that dress. Share those compliments with people because you never know where that connection is going to take you rather than just leave it in your head. You got that compliment for a reason. Let's start sharing those ideas. And even if it just brings a smile to someone's face, that interaction just starts, the more you start to open up, the baby steps you start to take, you never know where those connections are going to take you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just going to throw in there, because this is something I've struggled with, share it without disparaging yourself in the process.
Love that. Yeah.
Because we kind of always, like, give a compliment and be like, oh, I can never have my hair look that way. And, you know, I'm being overly dramatic, but appreciate and love others while also loving yourself. It's, you know, we have to learn to self-love.
And just the more we connect with each other genuinely. It's like when you genuinely have those ideas, like, let's not hide them anymore. Let's start sharing those with each other. And what worst case scenario is like, oh, okay, thanks. But that's worst case scenario. Best case is that you at least brought a smile to yourself. And actually, the other day, I was walking after the bus stop, and I saw another mom getting her kids on the bus. And then all of a sudden, I was like, do I walk this way and not say hi, or do I walk that way and say hi? Well, I ended up scaring her dramatically. And then what ended up happening was that my whole intention was just say, oh, yeah, we got the kids on the bus, you know, let's go us, right, and bring a smile to her face, right? We ended up walking together that day, and we've been walking 4 or 5 times since. So you never know where the connections will take you. And I had that choice. I was like, all right, I'm going to take my own advice. I'm going to go that direction and go for it. So I just encourage others to give that a try too as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's stop hiding. Oh, so good. We could keep going on this for a long time, but I think we've given everybody enough to think about. So Michelle, thank you so much for coming on and just bringing your knowledge and your vision to what this looks like to really formulate connection with ourselves and with others. So,
thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning into the show. I have a small request. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. This is a huge help to us on our quest to reach even more women around the world. Finally, if you're searching for a free community of women on a similar journey to you, I'd like to invite you to join me inside the free Rise community, hosted off of social media on Circle. Here you'll find connection with other women in a safe and loving space, a weekly book club, live events designed to deepen your inner work journey, and additional resources to support your growth. visit www.jointherise.co or simply click on the link in the show notes to join me. Until next time, remember to honor and love yourself in each moment. Embrace the challenges life throws at you and continue rising.